Unsolved Mysteries Rewind is a commercial-free podcast that focuses on cases featured on the television show Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. Each episode features a single case and, if possible, updates and an expansion on the original story. Listener discretion is advised for listeners who are sensitive to true crime details.
Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, two friends get together to discuss episodes of their favorite television show, Unsolved Mysteries. Will they find answers? Will anyone care? You may be able to solve a mystery.
Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. I have on tonight, or today rather, Amy. How are you, Amy?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the new year, and welcome to the next chapter of Unsolved Mysteries Rewind.
Yes, so excited.
We were just kind of going down memory lane of talking about things to take if you get sick from this disease that I'm not even going to mention that everybody seems to be catching. And we got onto the topic of like vitamin D, vitamin C, but also zinc. And
zinc,
you
magical.
And you kind of pulled out a memory of mine because you said that when you have several piercings and you were told that when you get pierced, you take a lot of zinc. And I was told the same exact thing, and I remember it worked so well for me.
Yep, it totally does.
So I thought, so I have several piercings that I just left alone. Like, it's just kind of weird. Yep. And so I'm going to share the piercings that I have, but you don't have to, you could share the ones you want to share. You don't have to share them all. So a lot of people meet me and they're like, really, of all that? So I've had my septum pierced, my labret pierced, my tongue pierced.
I'll say same. Yep.
Oh, and okay.
Still there. I don't have my labret still. I actually did it myself.
You did your own labret?
17.
Or labret?
Yes, and it took me 2 hours because I was such a weenie. But when I went to go get other piercings, every single piercer is like, that is so perfectly straight and centered.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, OCD, thank you. But yeah, I did my own.
The labret was the only painful piercing that I recall. It felt like I got bashed in the face with a baseball bat.
That's awful.
Yeah, like my whole face.
I did mine so slow.
Oof, it was terrible.
Yeah.
And my ears, of course. I think everybody gets theirs. But I remember being told, take zinc and it'll help the entire healing process. And zinc was super cheap. And
it is. It's still is super cheap.
Yeah. And now it comes up again. And it's like all of a sudden, whoa,
Yeah.
Totally. As of now, I've totally taken out, I've moved on from all of my piercings.
Yeah. I still haven't.
That's okay,
so
too.
I have. The only thing I have ever copied, because people ask me that, about my tattoos, I have star tattoos and, stuff like that. People are like, oh, did you get that? Cause Rihanna, no, just shut up.
Right.
Please don't ask me that question.
I have no tattoos.
I do stuff because I want to do stuff. I have 21 tattoos.
You know what?
Still not done.
That's 21 tattoos. I think you've got me covered. So. I could take credit for 1/10 of a tattoo, and I'll say,
I love them. They're wicked addicting. But anyway, the only thing I ever copied from a celebrity was I have both my nostrils pierced, Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm obsessed with Lenny Kravitz.
But yeah, I love Lenny Kravitz.
He's amazing.
Have you ever seen Lenny Kravitz live?
No, I want you so bad.
Love
him.
I saw Lenny Kravitz live, and opening up for Lenny Kravitz was Pink.
I've seen Pink.
But you gotta think about that. Pink is, became this superstar. And, Lenny Kravitz, of course, has his own career. But
right.
to think about like Pink opening up for Lenny Kravitz. That's how long ago it was.
I saw her opening up for NSYNC when I was 13.
Whoa.
Don't judge me.
Do you have any NSYNC tattoos?
I do not.
Thank God.
Absolutely not.
We'd have to end the show right now.
I know. You know what? I would insist on it. The only tattoo that I have that's like music related is I met Papa Roach, and I have the lead singer's autograph
that's
tattooed underneath some song lyrics. Yeah. Most amazing guy I've ever met in my whole life. So, so genuinely nice. But anyway, I have, what else do I have?
I also have my left nostril pierced twice. I have two next to each other, you know?
I think that looks really cool, but I think that I have too much going on there to really do that. Like, you know, with the septum and stuff. And so I just,
that's the only one people see still. I mean, cause I wear a beard.
Yeah.
So when people see me and they're like, what's that on your nose? Is it cancer? And like, no, that's a piercing. It's not cancer, but thank you for like keeping me up tonight thinking about it.
Right.
Cause I did those piercings myself. Like you said, I pierced my own nose twice.
I paid my friend in high school, my senior year, $5 to pierce my nose real quick before homeroom started. Mm. And then I got the second one done professionally. I pierced my own eyebrow and then I got the other one done professionally. I don't like the way that they look at all anymore, but they both got infected.
That's
just terrible. Because like, you know, I like there was one time I was like getting a haircut and the stylist like was combing my hair forward and she snagged her comb on my brand new eyebrow ring.
Not her fault, really.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Not really, but it hurt so bad. It was awful. I have my cartilage pierced in my ear. I did that myself. I have my dace pierced in my ear.
Is that the little flap?
Migraines. No, that's a tragus.
Oh, okay.
I had that done, but like it just never healed. So,
gotcha. Yeah, that one's it's a very thick piece of cartilage, and a lot of people have that
issue.
It
really is. It sucks. But the dace is good for migraines and anxiety. A lot of people I know have them for that reason. And it does help. I will say it does help.
That's good.
I have snake bites, you know, like on the sides of my lip. And that's about us.
That's good. That's a lot.
Far south as I'm gonna go.
Yeah, I'm woo. So but yeah, piercings are a weird thing. They kind of come and go. They're still around. People are still doing it.
Oh, wicked.
People with a lot of gauging, you know, it's not for me, but whatever. If they're having fun doing it, all the better.
Yeah.
I
did it to my ears, but like they shrunk back pretty good and I'm good with that.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing. Now, when I was piercing my nose, this is a little bit, people are like, what are you guys talking about? All of a sudden, it's like Portlandia, and we're just talking about piercings. But when I was piercing my nose, I remember on the television while I'm doing it, I was watching Unsolved Mysteries. And it always kind of kept in the back of my head that that's what I was doing, you know? And whenever I pierced something on my own, I would always watch TV. It always kept like a weird memory. Like when I pierced my right ear, I was watching 21 Jump Street. Weird. But I do remember watching Unsolved Mystery. I really wish I could remember what case it was. But it always was like a thought process. It was always kind of like it would come up in conversation. And here I am doing a podcast with you about Unsolved Mysteries.
I love it.
So speaking of Unsolved Mysteries, why don't we jump into, hop on the plane and head down to Belen, New Mexico, where my son and I will be possibly going on an excursion for 2 weeks next year at this time.
No kidding.
With the scouts and doing like a 50-mile hike. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty, they refer to it as a high adventure. And it's one of those kind of life-changing type of things that we're going to do. So that should be a lot of fun. But New Mexico is a very scary place because it's so desolate. And back on September 20th in 1988, before all the piercing became so prevalent.
And big bangs were the thing.
Yeah. Tara Calico went missing. And do you want to go into this a little bit about Tara and what she was all about?
Sure. So she was 19 at the time, and she was a sophomore at the University of New Mexico. At 9:30 a.m. on the 20th of September, she left her home in Belen to go on her regular 34-mile bike ride.
34-mile bike ride.
34, yep. So it was like... I think it was 17 miles each way.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot. And she did it every single day. And it would take her like 3 hours, I think they said.
On this, like, on a bike that seemed kind of department store level. But I guess, you know, if you maintain a bike, you know.
Yeah, this was actually her mom's bike. Hers, they used to ride together, her and her mother. But there was an incident where I think Tara's bike got hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
And the possibly tire
related
was
even, if we think hit. About it. I mean,
I'm thinking, yeah. Like, you know, and her mom would ask her, like, her mom stopped going after that, but she would ask Tara to, like, carry mace or something like that. And, you know, she was like, ah, it's no big deal. Right. You know. Maybe it was more of a deal than, you know, Tara thought. But she rode on Highway 47.
Mm-hmm.
Which
wherever that is. I mean,
several towns.
It just sounds like it's a big highway.
It's just a two-lane highway. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays we have bike lanes. 1988, there really weren't too many bike lanes. I'm going to guess there aren't any big bike lanes over in New Mexico either.
Yeah, no. But it's very rural where she lived, you know, so I'm guessing that probably not. She was last seen along her route at 11:30 a.m. A suspicious pickup truck was closely following her, and she and her bike have never been found.
Well, I don't know what makes a suspicious pickup truck, but I guess if you're just kind of following behind somebody, it's very questionable. Of course, before the days of cell phones.
Yeah, they were like right behind her. They were like a lot of people who saw them that day, and there's actually like 13 people.
Yeah,
13
several. Yeah,
that saw. Yeah,
they saw it four miles away. Then they saw it 7 miles away, and then no more.
Yeah. And then, like, it was right behind her. And I don't think Tara realized it, but, like, they were going, like, 10 miles an hour. And they were, like, stopped occasionally. Like, that's what it looked like to them. But, yeah, she was definitely being followed.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one of those things where had Tara lived in a different, in the future, and had a cell phone, this would have been prevented. So these are things that are easily preventable nowadays, right? You just call 911, you know?
Exactly. And then, you know, there's, like, locations. Like, you know, you can look up, you know, where someone's cell phone is or, you know, things like that. So it would be probably a lot easier.
Also, back then, you know, when she had a Sony Walkman that you would listen to, what was she listening to? Boston. Boston. is that more than a feeling? I forget. But
yes, that is awesome.
You know, the big thing in the 80s was, you know, you listen to your music loud. So she might have just been in the zone of listening to like a guitar solo and not so much of the being followed because.
Yeah, she had no idea.
Yeah. And that's a real scary situation.
It is because like when I go like walking, jogging, whatever, I do that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. Like it's so creepy.
So she was supposed to return home by 12 p.m.?
Yep.
And yep. When she didn't show up, they went out to look for her, which...
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I guess...
She actually had asked her mother, like, if I'm not home by noon...
Yeah.
come get me because she had a tennis date with her boyfriend. I believe it was at 12:30.
Well, 11:30 was it? I don't. Oh no, you're right. You're right. After 12, yes, 12:30.
Right. Yeah. So when she wasn't home, her mother Pat and stepfather John went out to search for her. So here's where it starts to get weird. Well, Patty, John, and Tara's boyfriend Jack were out looking for her that afternoon. They ran into a group of guys drinking beer along Highway 47 around an old pickup truck with a homemade camper shell.
Sounds a lot like New Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. Definitely. I mean, I just feel like guys sitting around drinking beer. It's like, I feel like those guys are out there right now.
Yeah, seriously. And so they had split up. So Patty had run into them on her own first and became suspicious. Mm-hmm. So then she asked the two guys to go back and talk to, you know, these beer drinking suspicious hooligans, guys with her. Hooligans, yes. When asked if they had seen Tara, they got extremely defensive and said they'd been there since 11. And then when the three of them were together, they then said that they'd been there since 11:30. They became extremely nervous when Tara's father walked closer to the truck, they all lined up along the back of the truck to cover the license plate and the door to the camper.
Mm-hmm.
So not wanting to engage in a physical confrontation with these guys, the Tara's family just left and continued to search for her.
Right.
And the next day, a full-scale search began. Pat, her mom, found Tara's Walkman about 100 yards off of Highway 47. Footprints on the ground led to what might have been the site of a scuffle where the Walkman was found. Bike tracks were found nearby, along with a vehicle's tire tracks and an oil slick. Although there were several reported sightings of her in the southern United States in 88 and 89, none of them could be confirmed, and her case remains unsolved.
Yeah, and that's the gist of it, right? I mean, if we ignore all of the other information that would have come up and get kind of chaotic, because what was it, on June 15th, a woman in Florida,
next year,
way down in Florida, she goes to, I'm going to say, like a 7-Eleven, and she notices a Polaroid photograph lying face down. And I'm just kind of wondering, if you see a Polaroid face down, do you pick it up? Like right now? Probably, right?
I feel like I would,
Yeah, me too.
Like, just because, like, what the hell is this?
I'm a snoop. You know? Yeah, I mean, I'm nosy. Yeah. You know, it's like I can, you know.
Same. Yeah. That's what makes us good investors.
Might be a nude.
We check things out. It might be a nude. Yeah, that's how they sent, you know, those pics back then.
Yeah, exactly.
They just left Polaroids.
And
before she went in, she noticed that white van. And then when the van was gone, when she came out, she noticed a Polaroid, you know, in the vicinity of where the van was parked. And then she picked it up.
So do you want to describe what's in the photo? I think that is maybe Tara.
It's crazy. Maybe. It is. It's definitely the back of a van. There's like pillows, blankets, but there is a teenage girl or a young woman and a small boy. Both of them look like their hands are bound behind their backs. And they both have black duct tape over their mouths. Mm-hmm. And the little boy looks absolutely terrified.
Yes.
The girl looks really pissed off.
The girl looks tired. Like, you know, like a hostage might.
Yeah. So she might have been there longer than this little boy who just looks terrified. Plus, like that.
I'm willing to bet
that poor boy.
That, you know what? Tara's like, what, 115, 120 pounds? I don't know how tall she is. I can look it up real quick.
She was
smaller, 5'5", 5'7". So she's not like 5 feet, you know. I bet she could take a, she could throw a punch. She's biking, what, 35 miles a day? She can kick.
Right. And then, you know, like the tennis, like she was super athletic. She was very active. You know, I think that she could have, you know, she could have taken,
yeah,
you know, somebody.
And I'm hoping that maybe she at least got a few hits in, personally.
Right.
No, the photograph was brought to the police. Is that how she did it?
Because
I've read a number of different conflicting things, and there's one particular piece of evidence that on the Unsolved Mysteries show they point out that the mother said that I cannot confirm. So, and so she goes to the police, and I just think it's kind of weird. What would the police do with this? It's like, you know, it's a Polaroid. There's no trail. There's no processing. You know, there was no negative. There was no. It's just a one-off. Do you want to say what the police did with the photo?
So, let's see. So first of all, it was on like the national news.
Yeah, I don't know how it made it. That was one thing I'm not clear on. How did we go from finding it?
Do you remember the show A Current Affair?
Yes.
Like, that was, like, the first place that it was seen.
Oh, okay.
And a friend of Tyra's stepfather called them and was like, have you seen this? Like, it looks just like her. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it all transpired. And another thing was the boy looked like another missing person from New Mexico. He was on a camping trip in the Zuni Mountains with his father.
Sounds kind of like what I'm about to be doing.
You know, that's why I was like, oh. Whoa.
No, but we're going with a large group, so nothing bad can happen then.
totally not. But I mean, it's less likely.
We have phones. We'll figure it out.
That's true. So the little boy looked like a boy, Michael Henley.
Mm-hmm.
He had vanished, like I said, while on a camping trip with his father in the Zuni Mountains. I think their disappearances were like months apart. The factory analysis had determined the photo was recently taken.
It was from the stock of the film because they're made in batches.
Exactly. So there were three different, groups of people who had analyzed this photo. Scotland Yard analyzed the photo and concluded that the two children in it were 100% Tara and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
The Los Alamos National Laboratory analyzed the photo and concluded that they are not Tara and Michael. And a forensic artist, I believe, was it like with the FBI, compared the pictures, and they were about 85% sure.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
One of the things that stood out to me was the mother said she knew it was Tara because of a scar that was on her right leg that is in the photo.
Yep, from a car accident that she had.
Now, here, if you go to the FBI .gov site and look at the missing poster for Tara, under scars and marks, it says Calico has a large scar on the back of her right shoulder and a dime-sized brown-colored birthmark on the back of one of her legs. So there's no indication that she has this scar, at least not through the FBI. The scar is actually on her shoulder. So that was kind of one of these kind of weird things, like another inconsistent or strange truth that sometimes follow unsolved mysteries.
Yeah, that is strange.
Fact check false. That's what I say.
Yeah, I think so too.
But it is info from the mother. And why would the mother lie, you know?
Right. And I feel like, I mean, they do bear a resemblance to these two missing people.
If you said that's definitely her, I wouldn't question it. Or the boy. But
right.
We learn it's not the boy.
Right. Because they found him.
They found his remains. I want to say it was seven yeah. miles from his location, which is a scary situation. You've wandered seven miles. And he did, because of the elements, he died. You know, it was a terrible situation. Closure. But thank God they have closure. But who the hell's that boy now? And the scenario is frightening. And
it is really, when you think about it.
We also dramatize it in our heads, I think. The kidnapping scenario from movies and the creepy guy taking the photograph and stopping at like the 7-Eleven to buy food and or maybe even like somehow them figuring a way to get the photo to fall out. And I don't know.
Yeah,
it's real sloppy.
Yeah, I mean, it could go. I try not to think about it too much.
Yeah, it's depressing. Now
it is.
The parents get really involved with this case. I mean, what parent wouldn't, right? You get obsessed with this. You need to find your child.
Exactly. Right.
But I don't understand. Maybe you can explain this. That John and Patty, the parents, were deputized. And they allowed them to carry weapons and to contact law enforcement at any time on behalf of the sheriff's office. Why? Yes. I mean...
So I think because there were just so many leads that the sheriff's office.
But to carry weapons?
And I don't know about the weapons carrying, but I mean, when you find more out about everything that kind of went on in this case, I probably would carry a weapon also. I would. But I mean, the mother, Patty, was constantly getting from like all over the country, you know, like pictures of like dead young women, you know, that were like Jane Doe's from, you know, all over the place. And she would look at every single photo. I mean, can you imagine?
No, I think like, it fucked her up.
Your child is. Oh, absolutely.
I think
you know, she had a series of strokes after that. And then she was nonverbal and she started to develop Alzheimer's.
Yeah. I mean, in your notes, your extensive notes, one of the things that really stuck with me is towards the end where she has Alzheimer's and she's gone through a few strokes. She sees a girl on a bicycle and she points and she's like, Tara. And she writes on a pad, Tara. Yep. And it's just... This is what
that killed me.
Your sad life has become. I mean, your wonderful, bright life has become this dark existence. And I just, I cannot feel worse for that, for her as a parent.
That was it for me. I was like, this is literally the saddest thing. I cannot even imagine.
Like, you're grasping at straws at this point because there's no answers.
Yes. And that's, you know, when you have Alzheimer's, you remember way, way back, but you don't have a really good short-term memory. So I'm sure that after all those years, like, she sees a girl on a bike, and that's all that she can think of, because that's how her daughter disappeared, and, you know, that's what her daughter loved to do. And
heart-wrenching. In my head, it solidifies the importance of closure.
Yes.
Because
absolutely,
even if it's a brutal existence, even if it's a brutal... You know, it is what it is. You know, it's
right.
Had she been raped and murdered, that is awful. But if that's what happened, at least I know. And I don't know. It's just
and you don't
awful.
Like obsess over it and just wonder every day. That's the worst thing.
Is not knowing. Sure.
Your brain can go to some awful places with that.
And as a parent, it gets worse, right? It's like
of course, you know, like you just what's happening to
trying to call you, like, why are you not answering?
Exactly. I don't think I could have handled it. She was like such a hero though, like she did so much, and you know, I have to commend her for that. You know, even though it probably did lead to, you know, her series of strokes and, you know, her health issues later on in life.
No, the Tara Calico case, champion. the Tara Calico case is included in the YouTube collection, isn't it? Or is it not?
I don't watch it on YouTube. I watch it on Amazon.
And it's not included there.
No, this was like a missing segment. But it is literally on so many other things. I actually watched, it's on Discovery Plus. It's called The Missing. And it's literally like, you know, 15 and 20 minute, like little segments, episode kind of things. And hers was on there. I think hers is the third episode.
You're absolutely right, though. It is not included in the collection that is publicly available through Cosgrove Enterprises, whatever they call it this week. But
yes.
And if you're listening, if you're like, oh, how dare you say that about my wonderful Unsolved Mysteries, do a better podcast. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole again, but
I know.
The podcast didn't get better. I'm going to say that. And
not.
Their posts are just...
At least there's no drone footage.
It's there. You just can't see it. Jeez. And, you know, the host... The host is very talented.
Yeah.
There. He knows how to really read a script written by someone. This is a... A lost case, a missing footage case. And if you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy it, and I know you do, one of the things that we're going to start doing in 2022 is creating these watch parties. And I think that it will be interesting to do these things. And
I'm so excited about that.
And we're going to play some of this missing footage that is like VHS quality. And this might be pretty much the only place where you could find it, right?
This is true. Yep.
Of course, I don't own it. I don't have any right to do it. And it's free to view. And I take no responsibility for it whatsoever. But nonetheless, where does that bring us? Because there's a lot of weird stuff, including Sheriff Rene Rivera.
A lot of weird stuff. Oh, yeah.
This guy is creepy to me.
He should be. I looked into him a little bit, and it's not really on par with this case. Like, it's not really related, but you have every reason to be creeped out.
basically, he's making statements to the public saying, I know what happened. I know who did it. It's like, okay, well, you're a law enforcement officer. Shouldn't you be doing something about this?
Right.
And, shouldn't he lose his job for making these statements?
I don't know.
I mean, you can't just come out and say, I know who did it, but I'm not going to tell you.
Right. And the reason is because of who's involved.
Right.
Which, you know, when I was researching this, I just was like, for like a solid week, I was like in another universe. I was just like, oh my God, like...
Well, what stood out to you? What made you think, like, this case is really either a corrupt situation that's never going to come out because of the level of corruption? Or, like, what really stood out to you? I mean, aside from the craziness that surrounds the Tara Calico podcast.
But when Melissa Esquivel... the one who was doing the vanished Tara Calico case.
Mm-hmm.
She has done a podcast. She is in the process of doing a documentary, which I believe is going to be on Netflix.
Right.
She had moved away from Belen, and she had come back for Christmas one year. And her mother had sent her a newspaper clipping about this case. And I guess she was going out to dinner with a bunch of people who she went to high school with. And she had just kind of like asked about it in passing. And she's like, everybody knows what happened to her. And she was like, what are you talking about? And like, apparently the whole town knows. Like the the names of the people who are involved, why it was covered up. It was
I don't know how much
the
I believe
sheriff
this.
At the time. I don't know. It's so, it's so.
What's the like? What was the MO for not sharing this information?
The former sheriff, who was the sheriff at the time of Tara's disappearance, was still alive. Like, he wasn't the sheriff, but he was still alive, and he still had, like, people were afraid of him. He was dying of Parkinson's for a year, and nobody would talk still. The people who they said were involved, like, right after Tara's disappearance, like, they were sent. So that's, like, quotes from this witness that she had on her podcast. They were sent, a couple of them to Florida, a couple of them to one of them to California, and a couple of them to Hawaii. And then one of them who was involved was in a mental facility in Texas, and nobody can locate him. He's alive, but nobody knows where he is. So once she started this podcast, she actually had to move out of New Mexico because she was getting death threats and things like that. And like, you know, her family was being targeted, but, you know, she got a lot of really good information. And now that this sheriff is, no longer with us,
I don't, there's so much weird stuff surrounding this. I mean,
so this many is what, weird things.
This is where I think my BS meter kind of goes up when it comes to the podcast. So she signed with Netflix to make a documentary, we think. Is there any, is it in pre-production?
She said it. You know? Yes, it's in pre-production. She has a website, Melissa or Melinda? I feel like it's Melinda.
Esquivel.
Melinda. Yep. Okay. So my bad. Melinda so Esquivel.
When you sign your rights away to Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
you're not going to stop your podcast because of the FBI. Because you're protected, right? You have Netflix attorneys. You have your story is protected. On the other hand, you have Netflix that's going to say possibly stop doing the podcast or hold it off. And when you can restart it again, when we're closer to release of this documentary, and just say it was the FBI, because that makes it sound better. I just don't believe that the FBI gives two craps about this little situation. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And for the FBI to say to temporarily halt, they wouldn't ask you. They would just shut it down.
Yeah. I mean, she's been working really closely with law enforcement, though. So I hear.
But then she signed it all away to Netflix? Just,
yeah, I mean, it's not the podcast. It's like a, you know, an actual like movie thing. I don't know. All I know is what, you know, she has said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said that. Because, you know, like, this has really, like, her podcast has really, like, taken off. And, like, people around, you know, the country, possibly the world, you know, are, you know, like, involved in, you know, this whole case now. Like, I definitely am, like, invested. And I think that because people are starting to come forward, like, they probably don't want to tip their hand. So they asked her to stop.
Right.
That's what I got from it. And there's like a couple of episodes of the podcast where like she kind of has to like redact some stuff, like, you know, because there's people that have been involved maybe weren't actually involved, like there were rumors, so she had reported on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I don't want to say too much about it, but
she doesn't
they had
know.
Their whole
She was
yard,
not involved
like their whole
in,
property dug.
But Melinda's not involved in this case whatsoever, right?
Nope. She just
it's a project.
She actually worked. Yeah, she was like she got permission from the Valencia County Sheriff's Office to. She had like an office there, and her and Tara's sister Michelle, like, worked there for like I don't know a year or two, going through every single piece of paper, every file, and they noticed that a lot of stuff was missing. And like really important, like interviews, the transcripts of the interviews, some tapes, and when I believe it was Rene Rivera was in office as the sheriff, you know, it was said like, oh, it's in his safe. And like they open the safe after, you know, he exits as sheriff and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's just, there's just a lot of really weird, crazy stuff that goes on in this case. And it's just crazy.
No, I'm vanished. The Tara Calico story. Is that confirmed to be a Netflix production? Cause I can't find any evidence to prove
by her on her website.
So her word of mouth.
.com.
Because according to Netflix, it's not in production through them. I mean, they're not saying that they're not producing it. They're just not, it's not a part of their current production.
Yeah, I don't think that, I think that she's a producer. She's like a filmmaker, and the music that's like in the beginning and stuff of her podcast, like she... like produce, you know, she produces for that band or that guy, whatever. So most of the stuff that I got, because I couldn't find a lot on, you know, just random websites, I listened to the entire podcast twice. It's really, it's an amazing podcast, and it definitely takes you down, you know, some twists and turns. I do think that, you know, the story that goes around is true. I think that she died that day.
Well, that was my next question.
Somewhere.
Is whether or not this documentary is being made by Netflix or not, it's not that important.
Right.
But what is important is I wanted to know what you think happened. Like, what do you think that happened on that bike ride?
I think that there was a guy who happened to be... the sheriff's son at the time. His name was Lawrence Romero Jr. He used to like ask Tara out all the time.
And this is just a theory, of course. Like, you know, if Larry is out there, you know, this is purely speculation, and this is kind of
purely speculation. Yeah. This is just what I think.
It's not accusing.
From what I've heard,
it's
so.
Just what we've read. We're repeating things we read.
Right. Just a theory. Just because of all of the things that you hear being reported in this podcast. He was obsessed with her, you know, wanted to date her. She didn't want to date him. She kept telling him no. And I think that that truck that was following her, there were two people in the car. One of them was him. People have identified him as being in the truck, but like I said, allegedly, you know, just from what I've heard and gone from with the podcast and everybody who was interviewed and things like that, I think that they might have just been trying to screw with her, you know, like scare her a little bit. And when they hit her bike, she fell, got hurt, perhaps.
You think it was an accident? You know, and the things got out of hand?
I think so. I mean,
you hope so.
It's hard to say. I hope so, you know. But, you know, she said she was going to go to the police. And obviously, she knew exactly who they were. So they kidnapped her. From reports that, people have come forward to say that she was raped, murdered, wrapped in a tarp and buried somewhere on someone's property.
But we don't know. I mean, this is all,
But
we
I
have no
don't know,
idea.
right? All speculation. I have no idea. That is what I think happened. I think that she is still in, that particular area, maybe not necessarily in Belen, but somewhere. And, it's believed that, they had help covering everything up
Definitely a
by
lot of people
someone
are
who knew how to
involved.
do it.
And
Yes.
definitely being, we often find this in a lot of stories, the sheriff's son being involved.
Right?
What is so curious to me about this case is not really the unsolved mystery aspect of it, is more along the lines of why did Unsolved Mysteries pull this? That's the big mystery here to me, is
I was wondering the same thing.
because I can't find any information that they state, aside from the scar, that doesn't make any sense. Like it's all
Right.
the story. So I don't know if it has something to do with the sheriff. Or, I
I
don't
think
know.
it could.
It could.
I think that they could have had it pulled. They could have, like threatened a lawsuit or something like that. I think
These
that's totally possible.
missing segments to me, I watch them in a very different way than I watch the regular cases. I'm watching for the
Same.
smoking gun. I'm looking for, there's something here that's not supposed to be here. That either
Right.
we're not privy to, or such a flat out
Right.
lie that they couldn't have it. And I can't find the lie.
Exactly.
And the lies
I
sometimes
can't
show
either.
themselves. Sometimes it's like, all right, now I understand. But
Right.
this one, I don't know what's wrong. And there's
I
something
don't
there.
either.
You can watch it 100 times, and no, I can't find any of the information, but maybe there's one word I'm missing.
Maybe.
So if you know, if you have a
I mean,
theory, and you're listening, let
yeah.
us know what you think.
That would be so cool because this case, really, like I go on this podcast, the Vanish the Tower Calico story,
Yeah.
and I'm like looking for the update, because the last one was in October of 2019, and
Yeah.
she just basically says like, things are moving forward, I'll update you soon. It is now January of 2022, and I will tell you, I'm a Leo and I'm not patient. I
Well,
want to know what's going on.
what I think is going on is Netflix is basically saying, don't tell your whole story here for free. Do it
Yeah.
on our platform.
That's probably true. That has a ring of truth to it.
You can always go
Although,
back to the podcast once the show is out and discuss whatever you want.
yeah, that actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
However, me being me,
Yeah,
I would
you want it.
love
You want the
to
answer.
have Right. And then I would totally watch, the documentary if and when it comes out. I would do both because that's just how I am.
I just don't believe the FBI is involved at this point. I don't believe the case is open. I don't believe there's.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, if there is, it's all private investigators hired by Netflix. I just don't
That could
believe. I
be.
mean, it's, 30 over, what, 34 years ago.
Yeah,
I
but like I
think
said,
people are getting murdered every day,
the sheriff at the time is now deceased. Yeah, I know.
Everyone
That
is.
is true.
How
But
many
I think
people?
now.
The parents are gone. Actually, I don't know if the father's gone, but the mother passed away.
The stepfather is still alive and lives in Florida. I don't know about her. I think her father passed. Her sister obviously is still around. And.
I mean,
Obviously, Melinda,
but a lot
who
of
was
people.
involved in the.
Over 3 decades has gone by, and really there's been no, nothing has happened. I just don't believe that
Yeah,
the
I mean.
FBI would use so many resources, or the police would open this up and try to complete this. I think it's worthy. I mean, if they can come up with an answer, you can answer some questions from 3 decades ago. But I just I just don't know how many resources are really being put into this outside of the public domain. Yeah. You know, private investigators and, you know, digging up, you know, going after the, how many of these police officers who worked on this are retired?
Oh, a lot of them.
Most of them.
A couple of them obviously are deceased. The thing, though, that gets me is, you know, they, Michelle Dole, who is Tara's stepsister, I forget. I think it's stepsister. Mm-hmm. And Melinda, they, like, have been for free investigating this. Like, they were constantly in the sheriff's office. Like, they had limitless access to this case and everything about it. On the podcast, they have, like, aired, you know, the interviews that were done way back when. There have been new interviews. Like, she has a few sources that come on, like, anonymously. And she actually had hired, her and Michelle had hired, a private investigator after, like, the podcast was underway and it was getting more attention. And then she did say that they have reopened the case, the sheriff's department and the FBI.
Mm.
But that was as of back then, you know, 2018, 2019. I don't know what's going on today. I do know that it was reopened, and things were being looked at again.
I just think some things are simple. And usually the simple answer is the correct answer. And I guess I don't know the point of, I mean, aside from closure, the point of continuing this whole investigation, I guess. But maybe I need to learn more about the case. I'll definitely check out her podcast. I'll put a link to it in the show notes.
It's amazing.
But, you know, honestly, I probably won't.
Compelling.
I probably won't because it just ends from over 2 years ago. And for me, I don't know.
I was pissed off. I was like, when is there going to be an update? Because, like I said, I just, like, like in October of last year was when, like, I started to look into this. So, you know, I'm looking, and I keep going back. And I went again this morning to see, you know, is there any update? Like, is there anything I can add? Nothing. Mm. And I'm just like, that really.
Yeah, that to me just makes me, you know, walk away personally. So hopefully, I mean, I can't blame them for wanting to keep the story under wraps. you know, it's a little bit theatrical, if you want my honest opinion. But it's a little bit cheap and a little bit, you know, it's like it's not really so much about telling a story than it's about a paycheck, you know, with the story getting out there.
Yeah.
But hopefully we see, you know what, I'm pretty blunt with this kind of stuff. And I just, if we're going to get involved with these stories, don't hold back information for your crescendo release party, you know?
Right.
So that's just the way I look at it.
Tara was a person.
Right.
You know, I think that Tara deserves justice.
From the very beginning.
That's what I'm concerned with.
From the very beginning of when I started doing any true crime podcasts, I've always reminded myself that we're talking about real people and they're involved with real people. And information doesn't need to be scheduled for release. You know, that's for your
good.
You know,
I couldn't even have said it better myself.
For your cast party.
I'm just like,
it's
So,
that's one of the reasons why I have such an issue with the current true crime world. And let's talk about it, but we're going to like scale it across 15 episodes. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. Like, you know, just out with it.
But
you know?
Some
like
people, there are some podcasts out there which do it because there's so much information. You Must Remember This is a podcast, which I listened to the early days of it when they had the worst sound of all time. The information on that podcast is incredible.
Really?
I don't know about so much nowadays. I haven't listened to it in a while. But those early day things are incredible. Not true crime. It's more, but they do touch upon some true crime. And but yeah, I can't recommend a podcast more than that particular one. But so Amy, it looks as though we've gotten to the end of the podcast.
We basically have, and I wish that it had a different ending as for us, you know, but you never know what will come out whenever.
Yeah, maybe they'll release all the, I mean, I want to see what other evidence is out there. I just.
Same.
We'll see.
That's kind of where I'm at.
But we'll definitely, we'll definitely keep our eyes open for the Tara Calico story. And hopefully there's justice for this poor girl's disappearance and a solution is presented publicly so we can all just kind of know.
Tonight we have been confronted with an entire catalog of unexplained and unsolved events. Tune in next time as Unsolved Mysteries Rewind discusses another collection of unsolved mysteries. Until then, we can only look and wonder.